So Joe D'Amico is president and CEO of Security Services Northwest and Fort Discovery Incorporated. With Scott Wilson here, we're going to talk with Joe about his past and anticipated business activities. Oh, by the way, Scott is publisher emeritus of the Port Townsend Leader. I'm going to read a little bit that I've written from websites and elsewhere. Joe D'Amico and Security Systems Northwest has been in the news in recent months for his proposed Cedar Hills Recreation Facility on the shore of Tarboo Lake. This facility, if built as described by Mr. D'Amico in preliminary application, would include 7 shooting and archery ranges, 2 helipads, tent sites, a wedding chapel, and or something like that, and fishing. Joe was often in the news because of Cedar Hills. I think it's safe to say that Joe D'Amico is the leading non-military expert on all matters of security in our area.
When I first came here, Joe, then to the Leader in 89, I think at that point you just started your company, and It was only you and like one other.
It was me, pretty much.
It was just you, and you're driving around in a little Ford Fiesta or something.
Yeah.
Doing door checks and business checks. We had a contract with you, and That's kind of where you started, right?
Yeah.
2001 represented a change.
We added a service after 9/11, and that was an emphasis of maritime security, because we had done some maritime security at Indian Island and we had some track record there. And so when the ships started coming in and there was more potential for a terrorist attack on like the coal, then they came to us and started to say, well, who's in the area that has experience? And we had done some stuff over at Indian Island, and then pretty soon we found ourselves doing stuff in Portland and in Seattle and kind of around the Pacific Northwest.
Is this waterborne protection of ships, or is it protection of naval facilities?
It's primarily ships. Okay. Yeah, we would get contracted to take care of a particular ship. Mm-hmm. And so we would go out and do that kind of stuff.
When did you establish your presence on Discovery Bay? What year was that?
That was right from the very beginning, about 1988, 89, somewhere in that time frame.
And Joe, did it become a shooting range at that time? Did you use it right away for firearms?
Yeah, we had firearms. We've had firearms the whole entire time of our business. So whether it's one person or 50 or now maybe an 80 people, there's always some use of firearms.
Did you say 80 people?
I'd say they were pretty close to that. Yeah.
How about now?
That's what I'm talking about right now.
So right now you have 80 employees.
Yes.
And your headquarters are where?
In Squim.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I keep referring back to 2011, 2001.
Sure.
9/11, 2001. Yeah. I think part of information, I did some study. I think
sure.
Scott did some study too. And
sure.
The Daily News has written a lot about you. Yes, it's more internal combustion engine there. and the Port Townsend Leader has.
Sure.
And also you had a long interview with Paul Gottlieb of the Daily News. And I've read that too. And at least in the Daily News articles and in that interview, there was a lot of talk about changes, growth, especially with respect to firearms on Discovery Bay.
Well, it based on, if you're looking back at 2001 after 9/11, there was some changes in threat conditions, and then and more emphasis put on that the customers would come to you and say part of the reason for that is that the weapon platform would change is because the tactics have changed. And so instead of standing on the gangway with with a sidearm, based on the threat level, based on the asset that you're protecting, and based on some other factors, you might have different types of weapon platforms. And so that's probably what changed, is that once we realized the threat that was to our nation at the time, then there's this matrix that goes along based on the type of ship and what kind of weapons platform you need to have to protect it. And then not only are you talking about protecting the ship from what might be a shore side attack, might be a waterborne attack. So what types of weapons would you need to stop a waterborne threat or shore side threat with a dump truck?
So from 1987 I'm going to say until 2005, how did your use of that waterfront property and the farmhouse, how did it change? How did it expand? And there's more buildings I know were built.
Yeah. Yeah. So the basically our the property was like a couple of gun ranges there. So as we got tasked to go do something, then we would train. You have to train your employees to shoot those firearms before you leave, and they would range in different calibers. So as far as what kind of I can't get into operational stuff, or I can't get into the types of calibers and stuff like that. I feel like that would be kind of giving some stuff away. But there's nothing that's not shot, let's just say, on the Sportsman's Club range, caliber wise.
Mm-hmm. So, when the question I want to ask is shortly after 2000, shortly after 9/11, mm-hmm. either the government reached out to you, or you reached out to the government, and there was quite an escalation of activity, correct? And in what form did that come? Did that come in the form of a contract where they said suddenly we want you guys to do all of a sudden to, you know, have a major expansion of your services?
Yeah, we started getting tasked with more ships up and down the West Coast. Mm-hmm. So we started to, I think where there was where the government were sending their troops overseas, or they were securing more, you know, different types of assets, we would come in and would backfill those locations where they couldn't provide the service, but they needed to have it per the classification of the ship.
Okay. And was it after that happened, Joe, that you first started getting complaints from people about the gunfire, or did you get complaints before then?
I never. It's the interesting aspect of this. I think it was an article in the Leader, and then after the article, it was in the Leader that we trained a Navy unit there. Then we got complaints consistently since 2005, there's been no change in, you know, firearm types or weapon types.
From when to when?
From probably that 1995, Area 92, somewhere in that early 90s to 2005.
So maybe just a greater intensity, more activity led to the complaints.
Could have, but there was quite a network of people over there that had a plan. So,
what do you mean network of people who had a plan? Where?
Across the bay from us. Yeah. So they were, you know, I think part of it was that people felt that, you know, people are anti-military, and people are anti-military. We've had some very intense shooting, not one phone call, and then other days we have some light shooting. And we'd get a lot of complaints. And so we'd do some public records requests, and we'd find out how that worked. And essentially they had a phone tree system in place so that this person called that person to tell the sheriff's department to call, and that person would call. They'd all record their addresses down to make it look like a much larger problem than it actually was.
When you were expanding your business on the shoreline, mm-hmm. and signing more contracts to do more training, mm-hmm. did it cross your mind that there could be a problem with the noise from a gunfire, and that eventually would be trouble for you?
Yeah, but we went through that process with the hearing examiner, and went through the hearing examiner process, went to Superior Court and
Appeals Court.
Yep. Yeah.
Did you ever go across the bay when other people were doing training for you and yourself just listened to what it sounded like? It's what, a mile across Discovery Bay over water?
Two miles.
Two miles across Discovery Bay over water.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever go over there and listen yourself?
I have.
What did you think?
To me, it sounds like a slight, you know, pop, 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 you know. Sometimes you could hear it, sometimes you couldn't. I would go into Port Townsend, I'd pull over at Chevy Chase and listen at times. I took some sound meters over there at one time, had some people that lived over there have a sound meter, and it was not any louder than that truck that's going to come by here in just a minute.
Yeah, but that truck is going to go away, and if people are firing, they're firing and firing okay. for hours to come.
You know, it's just communication, And there's a real lack of it. And what I've seen in Discovery Bay has been, I've gone over to the Ornelas' house. I've left cards on their door. I've knocked on their door. I'm small town. I shake people's hands. I'm in business. I think these people go for the throat. They go right to the commissioners, and they just try to knock us out, and then they're going to get in a street fight. And I've been street fighting for 12 years. And so I know how to do public records requests. I know who's in bed with who. I know what's happened. And people will say, well, you know, why do you continue, or why did you continue your operation? Or I'm sure you've got that question in your back pocket. And the thing is that because the process that we went through in Discovery Bay was about as corrupt as you could imagine. And I've talked to Scott about this before. We're talking about members of the Discovery Bay Alliance talking with Judge Verser, and I have it in writing. We're talking about them talking to the hearing examiner. We're talking about Julie Dazelle, secret meetings up at the courthouse. And everything that I'm telling you, I have in writing, either on letterhead from public records requests. So there was a lot of goofing around going on with the Discovery Bay Alliance and the commissioners at the time.
That name, you adopted that name, didn't you?
I did.
And then sued the people who had been part of that group.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Or you
sue
threatened
them.
To sue.
I threatened to sue them because they can't get our name right. I have two legal corporations.
Well, I asked you initially, what's the difference between the two?
Okay, one's a security company, and one's a shooting and training company.
So Fort Discovery is the latter.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we sell firearms. We manufacture firearms as well.
Joe, do you have an active lease?
No, we're done. Okay. Yeah, we're done there. We've completely taken everything off the property, and we've moved all of our... We bought a 13,000-square-foot building in Sequim, and then we bought the 42 acres out at Tarbu.
Okay, you're not shooting at Tarbu yet.
No.
You are shooting where then?
We've brought in all our customers to the Sportsman's Club.
Yeah, here in Port, or outside of Port Townsend, I guess.
You bet.
Uh-huh.
So back, let's go back to the rally point. What's that all about?
Sure. The rally point, it was attached to our rifles. We basically, everybody's got, different marketing campaigns and stuff like that. So what we came up with is because of Vancouver, Captain Vancouver landing out there, is that we thought that would be a cool thing just to call it the rally point. And then for everybody that bought a rifle, it gave them access to our facility. So it was kind of a thing, like if you bought a rifle from our company, you could come out and shoot at our facility.
My sense from reading that I did is it also would be possibly considered a rally point should, I will say, society become intensely more violent and people needed a place to come, and I won't say hide, but I will say maybe prepare to fight back.
No, I think there's some people in some people's minds that's it's just like in today's world, you got some people that are preppers and some that are not, and some that are just wanting security and some.
Prepper? What's a prepper?
Prepper.
Somebody preparing for the end, basically.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you probably have a certain element, just like you would in any group of people.
Were you reaching out to them?
No.
No,
but
that is the impression people have, I think.
Well, that's a lot of impressions of a lot of things that are going on out there. So, I mean, but it also was a thing. When we had some of the different Navy guys coming through, we noticed that there was a lot of guys that were struggling. And
emotionally, I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we would always, at the end of our class, say, if you ever showed up here, you're always welcome for if there was ever a problem. Just meet us at the rally point. And so it kind of became a place that whether you're in the doghouse with your wife or having a tough time at home.
Or the government is after you.
Whatever. Make the rally point what you want it to be. You know, that's the beauty of having your mind. It can be whatever you want it to be. And some people may have looked at that perspective, but I think that was really blown out of proportion. I mean, I really do.
Well, in retrospect, do you wish you hadn't used those words? Because it does have a military connotation.
No, No, not a bit.
So now you no longer are on the shore of Discovery Bay. You're looking for an alternative. And how do you find this, I believe, 40-acre parcel, seemingly in the middle of nowhere?
I went to Pope Resources, and I'd been working with the county. I had been actively looking for a remote piece of property for about 3 years.
Yeah, and you knew your lease was coming to an end.
No, nobody knew that our lease was coming to an end.
But you knew you would like to be somewhere else.
One of my customers out here, Mr. Worthington, he said, hey, Joe, I got some property. And so we started talking, and before we knew it, we kind of discussed what's within the possible, and he agreed to sell it to me. And it was an ideal piece of property because it's surrounded by commercial forest land, one of the biggest timber companies, I would say, on the peninsula, not on the state, but I would say on the peninsula for sure.
Pope Resources.
Pope Resources. And nobody within like a mile and a half, I think, is our closest neighbor that we could see on a map. So we're hopeful that that's going to turn out to be the right spot.
And Joe, to advance this then, so the county has drafted, apparently you were on the advisory committee, a prospective ordinance related to shooting ranges?
Yes. Well, to back up a little bit, through public records requests, we saw where the opposition group lobbied Kathleen Clare one night on her private email to put a moratorium in place because of my facility. I had applied with DCD. They had known that I was moving, and to try to derail me and stop me, I believe it's between Nancy Wyatt and Kathleen Clare. There was an email as, can we put a moratorium in place?
But Joe, I mean,
that's perfectly legal.
You talked to this. You spoke earlier about you know, corrupt activities and corrupt communications.
Sure.
You know, I mean, anybody can contact an elected official, and I know you're talking about more than that because you're talking about judicial contact also. But let's just talk about the elected officials. That's what's corrupt about that.
You do same thing, don't you?
Well. I'm kind of a self-starter. I don't really go after. I'm not involved. I think I'm kind of neutral when it comes to politics. Actually,
But why would you not write to Kathleen Clare, or to Kate Dean, or to David Sullivan, email? Or, I mean, we all do that. I do that. Scott must do that.
Sure.
It's perfectly. I mean, it's how we work. Maybe Scott doesn't do that.
Yeah, Scott.
I think he probably does. However, I mean, it's
the way we work, and that's how we elect these people. And I support it. But I'm also a DCD. I've also made a huge, purchase, move, gone in and done the pre-application. They know that I'm the only one that's doing a gun range in this county. And then just to put a moratorium on us in a good faith effort, that's fine. They have the right to do that. And I have the right to do what I do.
which is follow the paper trail.
I usually follow the paper trail to see what the reason was. Was it really because of safety? No. You know, and that's what the moratorium talks about. It's all about safety. It's all about this, and we're going to make sure the bullets don't leave.
What do you think it's about then?
It's about noise. What do you think it's about? that's what it's about. I mean, it's about noise. Was it ever about safety in Discovery Bay? No. It's always about noise, and that's what it is. And you commented earlier that this is a rural county, and this is why you moved here.
That's quite right. And if you were to attempt to do what you're doing in Tarbu,
right,
a similar distance from where I live, I mean, honestly, not. This is the true statement here: is my quality of life would be significantly degraded. I mean that.
Okay.
These aren't people just trying to make trouble for you.
No, that's your point of view. But I also know that rural Jefferson County is for people to shoot and to fish and to ride ATVs and do things. We're not just going to close this place down and make it one big old sleepy town.
I like fishing. That's really quiet. Unless you hook something big and maybe get a little excited.
Yeah.
But shooting and fishing are kind of different, aren't they? One is quiet, one is not.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what you like.
Do you like the sound of gunfire? Is it like kind of music to you?
You know, it doesn't bother me, but I lived probably within 50 yards of the gun range, and there's times at our old place that I wouldn't hear it. There's other times I would. But no, it's I'm not a total gun fanatic. I'm into training people in the safe handling of firearms, and I really enjoy training law enforcement and the military. I think those are things that I really feel that those are people that are giving us that ability to go out and write the Kathleen Clare and do whatever, and that's great.
And we have military bases for military people.
That
right?
is a question I have, Joe. Why does the federal government need your range to train people when they've got hundreds of square miles of government-owned property?
You would think that would be. They don't have, it's a couple of different things. One is that, first of all, those areas are jam-packed.
Maybe they don't like the noise.
No, the op tempo. The op tempo is such that they're maxed out.
There are things happening all the time.
There's too many people training. Mm-hmm. And so they don't have enough places to train, number one. The other is that we specialize in teams. We don't specialize in, the regular. I specialize with teams that are, special operations folks. So I deal with guys that are, I guess to look at it from a perspective, you got the Sears and then you got the Nordstroms, and so the two different ends of the spectrum. And I deal a lot with the Nordstrom types. So bringing some of those folks here, it has a lot of times nothing to do with shooting a gun. A lot of times it might just be, bringing a team in to sit down and do some, look into operational planning or do some other kind of skill set that they want to do other than, shooting. Most people think, well, geez, Joe's going to have the military and they're going to be shooting 24 hours a day. That's not necessarily true.
So do you anticipate... You have a long process ahead of you. The draft ordinance is just a draft. We'll have to go to public hearing, may go to the Planning Commission, and then to another public hearing. Eventually, something will be adopted. It's now called, I believe, shooting. I guess called it shooting. I forget what the ordinance is exactly called. But anyway, something will be adopted. And you will then, presumably, apply for a permit for a shooting range. Do you anticipate this will be pretty much what you had on Discovery Bay? Are you going to add other activities? Are you going to subtract activities? If you're successful, it is a conditional use permit, I believe, and that requires mm-hmm. the hearing examiner, whom you've called into question, but we'll set that aside for now.
He retired.
Well, there'll be another. Require a public hearing with a hearing examiner and satisfying conditional use conditions, which are fairly rigorous. If all that works out for you and you get it exactly what you want, what will it be?
It'll be a recreational training facility that will allow the public, private individuals, law enforcement, and the military to
come. But your big bucks are the military, aren't they?
Not necessarily.
But they will be there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course they would be. I wouldn't discriminate against them. It'd be like discriminating against some kind of a race to say, I'm not going to allow, Democrats or Republicans to come out there. I mean, why would I say I'm not going to have the military?
But the same facility you'll be training the military personnel and having recreational activities. Do you think they're compatible?
Well, they will not be there at the same time. My facility is a lot different than what they do at the Sportsman's Club. My facility is where you come in and it's yours. So if they come there, they come there in a big way.
So Joe, are you, and I haven't read the ordinance, so you have to tell me, are you okay with the language of the draft ordinance?
I am. I think it was well balanced. It was really done well by the county. They put together a really good team of people, and it was. I think it's well balanced. The problem will be, and I just know this, is that the opposition group will apply pressure to the county commissioners, and they're going to slip in some language that will have something to do with either setbacks, no military.
Those are the two issues.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're gonna make something because the committee came up with a great ordinance that we all agreed on, sat around a table, but this is all about politics and this is gonna end there. Yeah. So, to answer your question on what might be the perfect facility, I also have like two or three other things in my back pocket that would work well there.
Mm. What's in your pocket?
I'm not going to reveal that.
They're because in his back pocket.
In my back pocket, yeah. Because you never know what next moratorium is coming next. So
should that be considered a threat?
No. Yeah. No. I'm a business guy. I mean, I got to keep my options open. I just bought, some property out there. So I don't know. But you know what? I'll have plan B and C.
Mm-hmm. I did read part of the Kitsap ordinance, which I think our draft ordinance is partly based on.
It's pretty much a copy.
And there is a restriction about shooting within
500 yards
of water.
I don't think that's – I think that's in one subsection of it. To understand, there was a gun range that got into a long legal battle with the county, and the Kitsap ordinance was to put them out of business. Hmm. So for us to take that whole adoption, we've already looked at it and analyzed, like, there's only two pieces of property really where you can have commercial shooting range. That's in holding forest, and that's commercial forest. And if you put 500 yards around every creek, pond, wetland, shoreline in Jefferson County, you will have probably about 10% of your land base to site. Possibly a range.
So that language is not in the draft ordinance here.
It is not. No. Okay. Nor is there any prohibition against military training. The Jefferson County draft looks a whole lot like the Kitsap County ordinance. I mean, I spent a good bit of time last night until I couldn't really see them or straight. And that's the conclusion. But the two differences are just the ones you identify. And I think it's good to say also to our listeners that we would seem to be talking about just two pieces of property, one on Discovery Bay where you no longer do business, and potentially the one on Tarboo Lake where you may. But in fact, this discussion applies to much of the rural parts of the county, because someone else, or you, could come up with a plan for another landlocked or seemingly landlocked 40 acres. And in other words, we're talking to everyone here. We're not just talking to people in the Tarboo Ridge Coalition, right?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. And, somebody could, we put a lot of energy into finding something that was surrounded by commercial forests that was, because we knew what was going on in Discovery Bay, and we were saying, how can we make this better? But you're exactly right. If somebody else wants to go on DNR property, commercial forest, right down there, right in Center Valley, or they certainly could
be right next door to just about anybody.
If you're next to commercial forest or you're in holding forest, you could have a gun range next to you.
So following this ordinance is a good idea for everyone.
Yeah, I think the ordinance the ordinance that was put together was, but let's not get this confused with you and I. If we wanted to go out and shoot right now, you and just as a group of guys, we can shoot anywhere in Jefferson County.
No, there's no shooting zones.
Let me follow up there. Except for incorporated areas or no shooting areas. You could go out in Chimicum Valley right now, and we could go out and shoot 30-06s all day long.
And I hear people do that from time to time. Yep. Joe D'Amico, it's been good to have you here. I appreciate your patience. It's not necessarily an easy conversation for any of us to have, but you've done
it's
well.
Fine.
Joe's
it's
used
fine.
To it.
I'm used to getting beat up, but thanks for having me.
I hope you don't feel beat up. Scott, thank you for coming.
Pleasure.
I have a question for you.